Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. We come together for gathering to learn Torah, so certainly the gathering is blessed. And all those that are coming to participate are blessed as well. So everyone should have a bracha, good fortune, have koch in all these endeavors. Spiritual and physical, ruchnik, gashmik, and certainly in your personal lives, in the schutz, and the schutz of Torah. The schutz of Torah, the schutz, is a concept. The schutz brings you a little bit above, lamala, from the norm. We know that Hashem gives us mitzvot to do. We know that we have to, there is a system of reward and punishment. But we also know that there's little extras in the world. Little extras that bring people, give people a little more than they deserve. And that's a truth. That's a merit. There are various merits in the world that you can plug into. Noah had a merit. Matahim and Hashem. Therefore, he was saved from the mammon. Anytime you have a special schut, there's a schut avot, any parents. I'm convinced that I had a schut from my grandfather, a blessed memory, after he passed away after my bar mitzvah, that it guided me in my life's path. A schut of Torah, of coming to learn, is a great schut. And therefore, you also should be blessed with that schut in your personal and professional and all your lives together. Secondly, I want to thank publicly Yaakov and Suzanne for putting this together.
At the same time, you can say Mazel Tov to them.
And Mazel Tov, that's right. Mazel Tov, they're grabbing new grandparents.
Mazel Tov.
We have a new baby in the family there. The crowd, the father, was a student of mine in elementary school. And I had the truth, the merit of marrying the couple. And now they have a beautiful baby. So, I'm going to meet you. But a special thanks to Adam and Suzanne for putting it together. And you should have much truth and bracha in your lives, particularly because you are go-ready, you cause Talmud Torah, you cause learning to happen. And that's even greater than learning. It is the idea greater is one who causes things to happen than even the one actually does it. And therefore, I'm very, very happy to be here and to see this beautiful shul, a wonderful gathering, beautiful people come to learn. So thank you for letting me come, and I'll share with you a little bit of history before I start. I first came there to Israel in 1964. And I came as a young teenager. I was 17, and the country looked very, very, at all like it looks today. In fact, nobody, there was not only no cell phones, most families did not have land phones. And secondly, most of the streets were filled with buses and cabs, very few private cars. But I came because my father, bless him, felt that I would be able to find my direction better in Eretz Yisrael. And I went to a yeshiva in Rehoboth for a few months.
You came from
New York.
From Brooklyn. Okay, yeah, Brooklyn.
And came to Rehoboth for yeshiva, and I went to the time for yeshiva. And in both cases, I held my own, but I really wasn't going anywhere. And then the two rebbeim, the two leading rabbis in Netanya, in the yeshiva called Rabin, they sent the SOS to Yerushalayim. The SOS was sent to Rabbi Noach Weinberg. How many of you have ever heard of Rabbi Noach Weinberg? Raise your hands. Ah. Okay. Rabbi Noach Weinberg, at the time, was living in Yerushalayim, and he was experimenting with a lot of different learning programs, innovative educational ideas, and he was like the source for the few Americans that were here to give them the strength and the encouragement that they needed to be Masiyet, to be successful. And so there were three of us, my friend Mordechai Eliezer Fuchs and my friend Shmuel Lunks in the C block. And the three of us were the problem students that Rabbi Noah Weinberg was SOS, come and help these guys out. And so he came and helped us out, and at the end of a week of learning, which was a very grueling week, and I undertook it only because he challenged me to be, because I was, you know, when you're 17 or 18, life isn't serious, and you try to have it fun and games until finally someone challenges you and says, hey, grow up! And that's what Rabbi Weinberg did. That's why I loved him. And he said, so at the end of the week, he said to me, he said to the three of us, how do you feel about the learning that we had this past week? And Mordechai Eliezer Fuchs was very encouraged, and Shmuel Lux was very encouraged, and they were going to undertake projects of learning, this, that, and that. And they looked at Tzvi Block and they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm leaving the issue.
Why would you want to do that? I thought you learned well. That's exactly the reason why I'm leaving. I'm not staying here another day. I'm going to Yerushalayim with you. You're going back to Yerushalayim? I'm going with you. That was the greatest learning I've had in my whole life. You encouraged me. You showed me that I could do it. That I could really, really accomplish. So, of course, he was really equipped to handle me. So he said, why don't you do it Chanukah time? He said, why don't you do it Purim, and then we'll discuss it. And I waited till Purim. I came to Yerushalayim, determined, after 2 months of doing better money, and I said, I would like to stay here in Yerushalayim. And he said, well, what are you going to do here in Yerushalayim? I said, I want to learn with you. He was quite amused. But so then I came up with an idea. I said, you know, there's a yeshiva down the street, because he lived in Makom Baruch in Geula, and down the street was Meir Sharim in Beit Yisrael, and he said, there's a yeshiva down, and I said to him, there's a yeshiva down there called Meir. Oh. Now, Rebbe, I said to him, you know, and I know, that I can't get in there.
Well, I know from where I know you, from Meir.
You don't remember
there? I was living there.
Okay, so that's, you know,
we know each other. Oh,
and he said to me, so I looked at him and I said, however, with your connections, I have a chance. And so he said, he was hesitant, and then I said to him, but we have to work together on this. And that was the magic word, together. Because he was always talking about starting programs and energizing ourselves to bring back the scores of Jews who are distant from our heritage, distant from the Torah, and who aren't observant. Let's bring them back. Let's make Chosmei B'tshuva. Now, in 1964, when you talk that way, you will be sitting with children. There's no such thing. It can't be done. They even the, he went to visit Rav Shach at the Bnei Brak. Rav Shach said it can't be done. Of course, a few years later, Rav Shach changed his mind. But what's interesting is that I said the word together, and a voice came from the kitchen, and that was she soon be well read. Dina Weinberg. And Dina said, Mayach, you hear this boy? He sounds like you. Take care. And because of that, he took me down the street, took me by the hand, and I'm 18 years old, you understand, and he put me into the mirror. Baruch Hashem, I learned, I grew, I developed, came back to the States, got a good job, started teaching, and I soon discovered that Rav Noach finally had brought together his dream. His dream was to build a yeshiva of Balchuva. Balchuvas. And he built one in Yerushalayim, and that didn't work. Then he built another one in Bnei Brak, and that took off, but it was small. Then he built Or Sameach, but then he left Or Sameach. And then he built Eishet Torah.
which was, has become a world success, as you know. And in building Eishet Torah, Reb Noach would say, often say when he would address crowds and encourage them to do things and to work on projects to help bring unaffiliated Jews back to the Judaism, he would say, what are you afraid of, failing? No problem, I failed four times. So what's the failing is good. Because once you fail, you get up, and you do it again, and again, and you finally get it right. And that's how Eishet Torah became the household name that it is today. I gave to Eish, I worked for Eish, I built Eish in Los Angeles, and Eish began to develop with a new project. And the new project was, the earlier project that I did with Reb Noach in the first week that we met was the project of learning Rambam. That was big to him. He was very strongly about the Rambam because the Rambam gave a major, major overview of learning, of Jewish information, of the knowledge of Torah, without going through the digressions of Talmud or Gemara and being able to get more information out without having to labor through the Gemara, so to speak. And but this time we started a new project. And the new project was called the 48 Ways.
What?
Huh? 48 Ways.
48 Ways.
So what are the 48 Ways? So the 48 Ways comes from the Mishnah in the Gavot. In the Epistle of the Fathers, chapter 6, Mishnah 6, it says the following. Torah is greater than Kahuna and than being a Melech. To be a Melech, you need 30 steps. To be a Kohen, you need 24. To be a Ben Torah, to learn Torah, you need 48. And then the Mishnah lists all 48. What Reb Noach said was the following. These 48 ways are ways that you acquire to, that's what it's called. 48 ways, Torah nicknamed by him, that those acquired. What do you mean acquire? So to acquire means to buy something and to make it yours. When a person learns something, sometimes they look at it peripherally, sometimes they look at it and find it somewhat fascinating or whatever, but they don't really take it to heart that much. Sometimes, even when you do take it to heart, if it doesn't mean a whole lot to the extent that it's not going to affect your life at all, if you take some meaningless course in college, which in fact you don't even want to take, but it's a requirement, so you got no choice, and you take it, and you pass the test, and promptly the very next day you burn your nose. I have no need for it. Torah is not that way. Torah is the divine wisdom of God, and so therefore you want to know it because you want to know how to live according to God's plan. So therefore you got to acquire it. You got to learn the tools of what it takes to be able to learn it and learn it well and effectively and make it yours and part of your mind and part of your heart so that it directs your life and you have direction not only in your religious life, in your secular life, you have the Torah with you at all times. And that's being a Jewish, a religious Jew is all about. It's not about for the goy, he goes to his house of worship one day a week and he's done. Or maybe I observe the Ten Commandments and he's done. For us, every single thing in life from morning to night is governed by the Torah, which is beautiful because it gives you direction. And so, in living in a directionless society, as we do, this is it's amazing to watch how the religious Orthodox community has grown and developed and become almost a real role model for the world. And the world becomes envious, in fact, of, I read the other day in the Jerusalem Post, how the morals of the religious society have become the enemy of the secular. So, how do we acquire Torah? There are 48 ways to do it. That means it's not just sitting down and learning. Well, hold it. Way number one. But Talmud. What's Talmud mean? It's the learning.
The
of course you gotta learn. I mean, how else are you gonna get it done? So obviously the number one important way is to sit down and learn. Open a book.
But there's a whole lot more.
It's more than that. It's a whole, how do you find where someone is truly a constant scholar? So, in order to do that, people need to know those 48 ways. They're indispensable to making the purchase of Torah. If you really want it to be yours, you need to learn these 48 ways. Now, the 48 ways are available in book form. You can find it in the bookstores. From Reb Noach, and his pictures on the cover, of blessed memory. You can also find it online. There are tapes, CDs, what Reb Noach did with each one was he felt something very, he was moved by it by realizing that each one is powerful all by itself. And that the consummate teaching was the 48. So he reasoned that he looked and he said as follows. Any single one of the 40 that you take, you can make a whole religion out of. So he took way number 8. Way number 8 of how to acquire Torah is the simcha. You have to learn how to be happy. Happiness is a task. It's a situation where you have to learn how one navigates through life with a positive attitude, feeling good. Well, the Hasidim took that and made a whole religion out of it. Chassidus is based solely, completely, almost completely on simcha. Joy, dancing, the kiddush, the schnapps, the machayim, this and that. It's a whole religion. Then he looked at way number 44, and he said, Shoel Umeshin. One of the 48 ways to acquire Torah is that question and answer. To be analytical. To go in depth. To be a thinker. Well, the yeshiva world, the yeshiva movement, has taken that Shoel Umeshin and turned it into a whole religion. Everything they do is questioning, answering, looking, learning, probing, analyzing. You look at the yeshiva, you walk into the next marriage, there are 500 boys clutching in each other's throats. This is the way, no, that's the way, this is the way to do it. And of course, it comes to the movement and say, that's the way I do it. And the thought process and the learning, it's awesome and it's beautiful. They made a whole religion out of it. And that's a Judaism is 48 ways, not one way or two ways or three ways. There's another way called B'tahara. B'tahara means purity. What do you mean purity? So purity means that you have to be really learning how to clear your mind. What this reminds you of. Clear your mind and be able to think clearly, purely, without distraction. What does that remind you of, anybody? Meditation. Say it again.
Meditation.
And they made a whole religion out of it. There's a whole religion there called TM. Isn't that right? Transcendental Meditation. Now, that's a very fine religion. Except none of it for Judaism. Simply not Judaism. It's 1/48 of Judaism. Shoel Umeshin is in Judaism. It's 1/48 of Judaism. Purity of thought is in Judaism. It's 1/48 of it. 1/48 of acquiring the Torah. Now, Reb Noach would dedicate in those early years an hour and a half every morning to one of the 48 ways. And for the beginners in the yeshiva, that was a required class. And each day he'd go with one, and the usual process was what, how, and why, what is it, how do you get it, how do you accomplish it, why is it important, and then the next day, the next day. And if students came into the program, let's say in the middle, so it was no big deal, because what you do is you just simply learn all the way to the end, and then it all starts again, and then you make up what you missed, then you get all 48. I added a little point to it. It is a point that I added. I subdivided the 48 ways into what I call 8 clusters, or 8 bunches, or 8 groups, so to speak. 8 groups. And these 8 represent basically the 8 issues of existence. Because Torah is existence, Torah is high. It's all about life, you see. And it's all about the various aspects of your personality, so that the whole of you acquires the Torah.
Not just here. Not just here. The whole of you. Your feet acquire the Torah. And your hands acquire the Torah. And the whole sense of what a Torah is trying to convey to a person and modify the person's life and direct the person's life is all in a totality. You need all 48 to fulfill the entire person.
And I'm subdividing them into 8 groups, and these are the 8 groups. And they are in this order specifically, particularly. And it's called as follows. The intellectual, the social, the educational, the physical, the mental, the personal, the emotional, and the spiritual. Those are the 8 groups. And I subdivided the 48 ways into these groups. The first group, the intellectual, had 9 steps. 9 ways. The next group, the social, had 3 ways. The next group, the educational, had another 3 ways. The physical had 6 ways. The mental had 4 ways. The personal had 5 ways. The emotional had 6 ways. And the spiritual had 12 ways. And that's how I did it. My presentation tonight will be to share with you any of these ways that you might find interesting. And I'll tell you some of the ways that are in that particular group. And I'll throw it open for anybody to pick a group. But let me just say one more point. Why is it in this order? Why does the Chazal, why does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot put it in this order in terms of the development of the human being? And the answer is simple. Because that's how a human being grows from his infancy, from when you're a baby, on to your childhood, your teenage years, your young adulthood, more mature adulthood. Life grows. And this is the way it starts. The very first step in human existence is your mind, your intellect. And that's what we call how babies discover life and find things and learn how to walk and how to talk. And that's, everything is the development of the mind. The beauty of watching a baby grow, or the beauty of watching a 5-year-old learn how to read, or the beauty of watching a 10-year-old learn how to ride a bike. These are all intellectual movements. It's all part of the human brain, the great, tremendous gift that Hashem gave us. And that's the development, that's the beginning of human development. And therefore, there are 9 ways of incorporating knowledge and discovery, using your mind, teaching your mind how to think, and teaching your mind how to discover. Interestingly enough, Shoei Lameishiv, asking and questioning and analyzing, is not part of this. Interestingly enough, Basimcha, joy, is. So if you want to know why, I'll explain a bit later. But joy is part of using this. The idea, of course, is that when someone enjoys what he's discovering, that someone or that thing he discovers, he keeps within him, he enjoys it, he follows up on it, and he does it again and again and again. Learned behavior. So let's say the child learns to ride a bike. He enjoys riding a bike, he's going to ride again and again and again, and really become a master at it. And that's why simcha is such an important factor in development, in Torah, and in motivation, and in using and stimulating your thinking in your mind. Now, that's the first step. The second step is called social. The second group of social has 3 ways in it. Social is basically when, while the intellect is growing within the child needs to learn how to get along. And this is a lifelong lesson that we learn as children going to kindergarten and going, our education must be a social one before an educational one. Before I learned what the book says, I didn't have to learn how to get along with the boys and girls in my class. In kindergarten, we're playing together. Don't fight. Learn how to get along. The idea, of course, is that this is a second level of growth, and it has to be attended to with three dynamics, and those are the dynamics of each of the children. And now comes to the educational. And there are three basic dynamics in Jewish education. Those are your first three groups, first 15 levels. And you're growing, and you're moving, and you're in school, and you're developing, and you're in high school, maybe on to college, on the yeshiva. And guess what? You find that life presents its challenges.
What's about the army? Going to the army is also one of the developments that you need.
You'd like to say that right, yeah, I mean, I'm sure if one going to the army will require some of the 48 ways to be successful in the army anyway. But
the simcha is going with the army.
Okay, maybe you'll have to get along with your fellow soldiers as part of that too, you know. I mean, imagine
our
responsibility, but do we have one responsibility? So, let me think about that, Tim, for a second. Well, okay, you mentioned responsibility, and you called me off guard. So let me respond by saying, I believe, off the top of my head, that responsibility is covered in the spiritual. Why do I say that? I'm jumping ahead. Because what we will learn is that spirituality is nothing but giving. That's what spirituality is. As needs to be physical, which is taking. So the spiritual means to give. It means to learn to assume responsibility in terms of, let's say, being able to know that people are counting on you, and your fellow soldiers are counting on you, and your country is counting on you. That's responsibility. That means I'm not that important. It means the task is, and the people that are counting on me are. That's spirituality. And I'll get to that. But then that you just keep really challenging me on that one, which would be good. Okay, so again, we're growing. Baby's growing into early adulthood and young adulthood, and there is an intellect. It doesn't stop us because the child went to kindergarten and it started learning social issues and dynamics, but rather it just continues. And the intellect is challenged by your third grade teacher, and your fifth grade teacher, and your sixth grade teacher, and on. Meanwhile, all the while, your social dynamics are also growing. And of course, your education is certainly growing too. And over your first 15 ways, your first three issues of growth. Use your mind. Learn to get along, open a book and learn. Intellect, social, and education. Then we come to new steps. And they're all part of growth. Because they deal with issues that are out there that are trying to hold you back from growth. And the first one is called physical. Our physical life, our physical needs, from its most basic to its more sophisticated, are constantly getting in our way from moving forward, from doing more, from achieving more. And we have to learn how to deal with that. And you're going to find that if you're interested in that, you want me to touch upon it, the physical hazard is approached by the Chazal of 48 Ways in a very fascinating manner of how to really deal with the physical. Can't you see that with the fourth, with the fifth level? And it's another major challenge. Because these are the things that are going to hold you back. You're doing well. You're in the 10th grade, 11th grade. Boy, girl, school, this, that. Doing well. Managing, developing, socially okay. Learning all the dynamics of how to do it and how to get along and how to be a friend and get friends, and you're really doing well in school and getting your A's and your A minuses and maybe B pluses at least. But then all of a sudden someone introduces you to a party. And at a party they have a little drinks and schnapps and maybe something illegal and maybe this and maybe that. And maybe the boys discover the girls and the girls discover the boys. And all of a sudden instead of A's and A minuses, there's B minuses and C minuses, and school's messing up.
and things are messing up. And I'm not getting along with my parents anymore. Well, hey, that's a social dynamic. You can't get along with your parents. We teach you how to do that. So, again, we have to learn how to deal with that. How the 40 ways deals with it is fascinating. And I can tell you in one word. Should I tell you now or then? Okay. He tells you moderation.
What?
Moderation. In other words, do not indulge and do not abstain. The Jewish way. Moderation. At the right time, at the right place. So, food as a challenge. One of the 40 ways how you do food. And you know what people do. You know people out there are obese. People out there are anorexic. People out there are challenged by food. Right? So our Torah teaches moderation in food. Moderation means there's a time when you won't have anything. Can you handle it? Can you handle it, Kipper? You watch somebody go in and talk to that can't believe it. You don't eat for 24 hours and you're afraid to eat. And the children are doing that when they're 13 and they're 12. The guy didn't believe it. They were astounded. That's the Jewish way. But then on the other hand, there's a problem. When you're required to be drunk. So, again, moderation is the name of the game. And we'll learn more about that. Then we come to the mental area. Another challenge in life. How do I keep my head together? How do I handle all those challenges out there that, I mean, you've seen in your life, I'm sure, people that are not mentally healthy. And you know, I mean, we can laugh and call them shoulders, but it's tragic and sad. Some guy's clearly not thinking right. He's not clued in. And he's acting funny or strange. It's a concept. That is a mental challenge that all of us are going to face. Don't think that just because he's a mishugan and you're not, that you're not facing those issues. You're going to face them too. And there are four issues to face. But in facing them, we learn a new rule. It's not moderation anymore. It's called here, abstinence. Here you got to stay away from these four problems like you stay away from the plague. We'll learn more about this. Okay, and that's how we handle our, as we're now going into real maturity. We've developed our mind, we're thinking, we're socially together, we're learning, we are handling our physical challenges, handling our mental challenges. And now the idea is get together with yourself and find out personally who you are and what your talents are and what you need to emphasize. And be happy with yourself. And that is the first 29 steps. And in most religions, and in most cases, and in most isms, that's what we saw. What do you more for? I mean, such a person put together. Think about it. He's really put together. He's got his learning, he's got his mind is thinking, he's got a social life, he's got a physical and mental health taken care of, he's okay with himself personally. He's a put together guy. And the 48 ways has two more groups. The next one is called emotion. Now, in the rest of the world, emotion is not a necessity. I mean, I don't have to become passionate about it. In Judaism, you have to. In Judaism, you can't take religion, you can't take God dispassionately. We have to love God. It's an issue here of love. And in one word, what is emotion? It is love. It is embracing. It's passion. That's the sense. And most religions don't require that. No religion requires you to love God. It requires you to hear God, fear God, approach God, listen to God, revere God, respect God. No one does you love. We do. No religion tells you that you need to be that intense in your religion. You know, be a nice person, be ethical, moral, this, that, and that. And a little religion in your life, once a week, and everything's well. We say no good to that.
We say you shall become passionate about your Judaism.
Emot.
Huh?
Emot.
Emot. Right. Right, very good. And so, that is one extra added to that fact. And then the 48-way says, you want Torah? That's what you got to do. You got to have spiritual. And this wonderful lady helped me understand the role of responsibility in that. Spirituality means giving. So I go to work every day on the assembly line, and my wife packs me a wonderful, delicious tuna sandwich every single day. And so does my co-worker, who sits right there. You need a drink. Okay, let's go get one. So, this day, my co-worker forgot, or his wife forgot, to pack him a lunch. So I got the sandwich, see, he's got nothing. And all of a sudden I say, you know what? I think today I can live on a ham sandwich. So why don't you take the day? Instead of doing it, I become spiritual. Why do I become spiritual? Because I do what God does. What does God do? God gives. Give us life, give us a world, give us a beautiful place to be, right? Give us the Torah, give us all. When you give, you're like God. I'm going to tell you a small story. Before I do this one, it's complete. The idea of spirituality is not just so much to give, but that you deny self at the same time. Deny your physical. I want to eat less today. Today, it's going to be half a sandwich instead of a full sandwich. Oh. And here again, here's where the army comes in. So sacrifice, giving of yourself. Sometimes God forbid making the ultimate sacrifice. But that's being by God. And that is spirituality. Spirituality and physicality work hand in hand. Less physical, more spiritual. More physical, less spiritual. You see, if you stuck your face to the table, there are some Muslims not going to help you make that table a spiritual experience. That's not going to help. You can't stop yourself, you understand? Be properly, nicely, respectfully. Proper table manners. That is a spirit-based treating a spiritual experience. And we get more into that. Let's get rid of a story about spirituality. Parshas. What's this parsha this week? Vayera. Okay? So, in Vayera, the parsha begins. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hello? This is not wrong. Hashem, thank you for calling. Did you know? You knew that I was recovering from the bris, and you knew that I wasn't well, and you came to visit me, and called me. Of course, well, thank you so much, Hashem. Oh, bang! Hashem, wait one moment. I have call waiting. Can you wait one moment, please? I have to get this. And the call waiting is those 3 hours standing outside. Those are friendly hours, by the way. We'll call them domesticated. So, anyway, so he sees the 3 hours. And he, brings him in and talks off the wind. So my friend, my beloved Rabbi Reb Noach, asked the question. That is the weirdest story I ever heard. You have this magnificent experience of God coming to visit you. Like anybody loved Elohim, Baalim Limar, Hashem come to visit you, Baalim Limar, and he's like, wait a moment, I gotta take care of 2 guys. Why does that make sense? That makes no sense at all. I mean, he's davening in shul. And he's davening, And someone walks in. I need a favor. I wish I could help you, but I can't. I'm busy davening. Because you're talking to Hashem. Certainly talking to Hashem is superior to helping another person. I mean, helping another person is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. But you're talking to Hashem. You don't put Hashem in call waiting. That was the nurse, actually. And the love hands in the following way. And he said, there is one experience in life that is greater than talking to God. You know what that is?
Giving.
Huh?
Giving.
Why?
Because that's what God wants you to do.
More than that, because that makes you God.
you can be God. A man, you can be Hashem. And that is greater than God. That's the message of spirituality. And in this message, the Noach taught us that no religion demands this. No wisdom, no cause, no theory, no nothing. Only Judaism demands that you must be spiritual and reach highest levels that you possibly can. And don't give up. And move forward. And sky's the limit. And try your best. Other religious systems, you know, you're doing your best. Leave it alone. Let it go. No, I gotta try more. I gotta do more. They tell a story about a rabbi in the States where his congregation wasn't very learned, and the president of the congregation called up the office and asked, "Can I speak to Rabbi so and so, whatever the rabbi's name was?" And they said, "Well, he's not available now." "Oh," said the president, "What's he doing? What's going on?" "He's learning now." The president says, "Learning? That's what he did at school. That's what he's done. I got to do it, no? What are you learning for?" It's a lifetime of growth. That's a whole thing. Anyway, those are the eight groups of the 48 ways. And I throw it open to you. I'll take five requests of what would you like to hear? The intellect, the social, the intellect, the social, the physical, the educational, the physical, the mental, the personal, the emotional, the spiritual.
I have a question for you. Like Hashem,
not Hashem. Hashem, not Hashem. It's a play on words, but it's not God. But when you're acting like God, you see, there is no mitzvah in the Torah that says Luchesed. Nowhere does it say that. It says, Lehidamot v'drachav. You shall walk and be like God's ways. So we all know that God opened the Torah, did chesed to Adam Chav. God closed the Torah and gave chesed to Moshe Rabbeinu and buried him. And in between, there's chesed all over the place. So the point is that when you do chesed, you are acting like God, being like God.
The trouble.
That's the one, that's right. And
how do you do
that? I mean, the feeling of giving someone something makes you feel empowered, and that power is a shadow. That's the power of the world. You're plugging into the power of the world. You're plugging into the power of the universe. Imagine if you're a scientist and you're in the laboratory and you plug into an awareness of a certain power that developed in this new invention. Well, fascinating. You're plugging into the power that made this universe alive. Every time you do something for you, you're plugging into the power that makes the world run.
I mean, that's awesome. It's going to make you go, wow, mind-boggling, right?
So this is the idea of what Ramon was talking about. So now I'm thinking from anybody I'd like to hear, if I could say something, or I mean, ask me any one of those issues that are interesting to you. Let me also say that teaching, parenting, leadership is all in which group? Anybody? Teaching, social. Leadership, social. Parenting, what?
Social.
No.
Education.
Spiritual. Not education. Spiritual. That's right. Education basically talks about how yeshiva functions, how to learn the oral Torah, the written Torah, Chumash Mishnah. Physical includes food, sleep, food meaning obviously all forms of indulgences, food, sleep, issues of male-female issues, conversation, humor, those are some of the physical things that need to be moderated. One of the 40 ways is called be a tzchok, don't laugh too much. But remember this, in any of the physicals, then we moderate, we establish the premise that you must do something. To be out loud, but not having any sense of humor is a totally dry life.
and totally lacking in enriching. So, whatever it is in the physical, mental health, let me give you four areas that mental health deals with. So this way you're familiar with a little bit of this, and you can choose what touches you that you want me to elaborate upon. Mental health will deal with issues like, will deal with issues like frustration and temper. It'll also deal with depression. It'll deal with ego, and it'll deal with fears. Those are some of the mental issues we deal with. Social issues. Basically, social issues are structured in the following manner. Equals, peer group, looking up to elders, parents, rabbis, looking to children, to talmidim, to anyone you help. Those are the three social structures. The 40 way posits that there is no person in the world that doesn't have all three relationships. You can be the youngest child in the world, when moment of time you start thinking about something. I mean, we just had a baby. My daughter had a baby. The first baby is now 20 months. She had a new baby. The 20-month-old baby already is beginning to realize that she's got a younger brother. There is no such thing as a person that has someone to give to. There is no such thing as someone who is so smart, so brilliant, that he has no one to look up to. So that's also another part of the posits of social life. So
it
seems to me like they're all interconnected. Right, but you do have to separate them. You know how you separate them? The idea of separating them is to work on them. The law will teach a share of an hour and a half on one way. If you get the book or you get the CD, you'll see how he does it. It's how do I make this happen for me? If pick a way, like let's say the simcha. How do I get the simcha? How do I work on it? How do I make it happen? How do I handle frustration? How do I deal with the fact that I lose my temper? I fall off the handle. How do I deal with the frustration of I lose? I give up hope.
And his ways are only to teach. Like each person individually, not for them
to
give over to it.
Sure. But I think the key to the 48 ways is to understand that once we understand what it is and we appreciate its value, work on it, make it part of you. If let's say one of the 48 ways is learn Chumash, well, get to it. Learn the parsha every week. What are we waiting for? And one of the 40 ways is love Hashem. Do you really know how to love Hashem? I don't know how to work, how to do it. Love people. Love righteousness is one of the 40 ways. Or it's like, what does that mean? It means I want to do the right thing. Give me the direction to help. And I'm passionate about that. I'm fighting for justice. I'm fighting for how to do it right, how to get it right. See? That's the idea of 40 ways is how to make it happen. But those are the things I know what they are. So I will identify them to you. There's the intellect, there's the social, there's the educational, right? And they're all different. They're all different.
Nobody is all of them.
Nobody's perfect. We try our best.
I don't know. As you said before, in one way, you can have the whole life.
Right, but that's a mistake. But that's a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
You could emphasize that one way. If Hasidim want to spend all day dancing and not opening up a Gemara, that's a big mistake. That's not Judaism.
They're taking some others, but nobody's taking the whole 48
okay.
And use all of them. And you say the groups is nice because you take one from this, you match all of them together, and this is your life.
Right.
Each of people here can choose the best for him to go in this way and
that's true. You can emphasize something that's very special to you. You can work on that. But you can't do the rest. Because then you're not a complete person. A person who dances all day is not complete.
I'm not checking one.
A person who runs all day tomorrow is not complete. A person who gives, who's
trying to put his life together and say, and deals with frustration. But he doesn't deal with his fears. He's not complete. A person who controls his appetite and his indulgences, but at the same time can't get up in the morning, that's a problem. What are those six issues that are physical? Food, sleep, money, business. That's a big problem. That's the main, that's the worst problem of all. The 448 ways, the challenge of money, the challenge of business, is the biggest challenge of all for your humanity. You become a workaholic, or dead. You become overwhelmed with money, nothing else matters. That's the whole idea of the physical. Do not become overwhelmed. You're under control. Today we have moral problems, and social aspects between men and women. That is atrocious. Because people have an appetite. They can't control it. It's under control. No. Judaism doesn't teach abstinence. Judaism preaches to get married. Judaism preaches to have a family. That's the whole idea. Judaism doesn't teach you to fast all day, every day. Or you can have a chayim and have a nice drink and enjoy it, but don't become an alcoholic. So Judaism is teaching the physical factors are part of your life too. You can't ignore them. You can't say to yourself, well, I run all day and I dance all day and I'm a fun guy, but I don't make a living. You're not a good person. Because one of the physical ways, as we said, is business, right? Money. We said don't let it overtake you. We also said don't ignore it. Can't ignore it. You gotta be moderate with it. You can't abstain from working. Well, I have to work. I learn to cheat all day. I dance all day with the chassidim, and I'm here and I'm there, right? And I'm living off everybody else. You can't do that. That's not a complete life. A complete life is I do go to work. But a complete life says, I don't accept it. I don't survive. That's a complete life. So we're trying to get you to complete life. And again, you're right. You can't emphasize. You can't become. No, that it becomes perfect. But you're working on it. It's a whole lifetime of work to become the best you can be as a person. So, anyone with yeah?
You said that in the mental is like depression and anxiety.
Right.
Nowadays, those things are considered physical ailments.
I guess you could say that. I mean, I won't argue over it. The only thing I can tell you is that in the past it wasn't considered an issue at all. In other words, a person's a nut, put him in a nut house. Today we don't. Today we try to help him. Okay, there's medication and there's therapy. But if a person does engage in regression, that doesn't make him a candidate for a nut house. What it says is, how do I deal with it? So there's one easy way to deal with it. Go to a psychiatrist. Get pills. Or there's a better way. Learn how to work on depression. What does the 48 say about depression?
Is that a physical, chemical imbalance?
Okay, the physical and chemical imbalances do lead some sort of medication. That's true. And there is an issue of a person's are made up of this and that. But you can work on your depression, either in conjunction with a therapist or even without him. I just the other day told the guy, dump your psychiatrist. You don't need him. Because you can learn how to work on yourself. You can build yourself up. You can become happy. You can work on it. There's a way of doing it. You follow? So what does 48 ways say about depression? It says, lay to. What's a lay though? It's an art. What it teaches a person is that if you search deep down inside you, as much as you put yourself down, you will find that you are good. And you will find that if nothing else you do is good, your intentions are good. Your heart is good. And that should be a factor
to help you overcome depression. That is a whole lot of steps and a whole lot of work that's done within that. And it can be done by oneself. It can be done by a rebbe. It can be done by a friend. It can be done by a contemporary. You don't need necessarily a professional for it. Now, I'm not putting the profession down because I have a brother that's a psychologist. but point, basically, the point is that if you go to a psychologist and you get your pills or whatever it is you do, and you don't start working on yourself, it's going to go nowhere. It's all based upon what are you prepared to do. The first thing you got to do is dig deep inside and learn that you have a lame toe, that you have a rough snout toe, that you are basically good and your willingness to do good. And you work on that and find illustrations of your life in which you've done this, you messed up, but your intentions were good. And realize that Hashem loves you because Hashem is not always interested in what you've accomplished. Hashem is interested in what your intentions are. That gives a person a tremendous sense of self-respect and dignity, and it helps the person move forward in terms of that. Now again, there are extreme cases, I agree. But the teaching here is to teach us how do I deal with my problems. I can't! The 40 ways says that's unfair. The 40 ways says that's just untrue. You can. And you better. Because all the help externally that you get is worthless if you're not going to work on yourself. That's the idea of late study. That's how you deal with depression. Now again, the depression.
And the needy me.
Right, there you go.
Shall let me money.
Okay, so the point is that again, the person has to realize that he hasn't. You haven't even grasped to become an incredibly extraordinary, beautiful human being. Believe in yourself. You look in the mirror in the morning when you're at your worst. And you know what I say? You are beautiful. I am. And everybody's going to do that. You really have to believe that yourself. And you work on it. And you sense it. And you experience it. And you see experiences in your life which shows you that. All of a sudden you're empowered. And all of a sudden your whole life begins to unfold within you in such a positive way. And you're meeting people, and you're getting a job, and you're getting yourself so much better. Because you believe in yourself. That's what they thought. That's the it's identifying the problem and dealing with the problem. Anything else? What's the time on?
Okay.
Intellect. Anything at all in the intellect. You want to let a person think? Does that person think? Very easy. First four ways. First is called the Talmud. Learn. The first is smart. No, what it's telling you is you should be constantly learning. What does constant mean? It means every single second of your life you should be aware and conscious. The only time you should be unconscious is when you're sleeping. If you're riding on a bus and it's a 20-minute drive into the city, which happens to be from here, at least maybe more. Don't waste it by looking outside the window. Or unless you're learning something from what you see outside the window. Don't daydream. Daydreaming is suicide. It's not living. Think about something. Think about this. Think about that. But constantly think. Keep your mind and your mind's juices moving. Persons like that, even in elderly years, are more intact and more alert. Because they train their life into that. Communists are blessed with this, an entire life into the analysis of learning. They're thinking all the time. And I got a Rosh Hashiva, he's 85 years old. Most 85-year-olds are retired in the pasture, and this guy's here to go ahead and deliver lectures. That is me, it's this world. So, the point is that, number one, constant thinking. Number two, listen with your ears. Shmiata ozen. You need to listen. That means you hear it. You need to understand it. Do you understand? Do you process what's being said? Or are you just letting it go through? Number three, barichat satay. Say it over.
In other words, repeat the message, repeat the idea. See if it resonates with you. See if you agree. Number two, I heard it, I understand it. I hear where you're coming from, but I could be number three, I disagree. See if you agree or not. That's number three. How do you determine if you agree or don't agree? No, simple. Say it all. Does it sound make sense? Say it. Write it. Express it in your way. Then all of a sudden the piece of information comes real. And the fourth step is be not hamed. Understand it with your heart. What does it mean understand with your heart? Understanding with your heart means I'm internalizing this.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah, I feel comfortable. This is okay, it's gonna work.
Even before you a simple example of
I want to get married. I want to get married. So, someone suggests a nice girl. First step, constant thinking. Meaning, don't dismiss it. Open your mind to everything. Let's hear all about the girl. Nah, I'm not interested. She comes from Beverly Hills, forget about it. She comes from a Spartan family, or is it fine? I mean, open your mind. Number one, think. Be open minded. Number two, listen to what's being told to you. Hear about the girl. So what do you mean hear about the girl? Ask questions. Try to understand more and more about if she's the right one. Number three, if you want to go out with her. Number three, speak it out. Meaning, go to your friend and ask and share with your friend. What do you think about this idea? This girl has this quality, this, that, and that. I'm saying it over to you. What do you think? I'm saying it over to myself. I'm really considering this. Number four, internalize it. Go out. Go out on a date. Of course you're not. Certainly not your girl. go out! Who can you say? Go out! So that's how your intellect works. Those are the first four ways of doing your advice. Open your mind, listen to what's being heard, say it over and see if it experiences as well. Fourth, try it. I'm walking down the street in Beverly Hills, as a matter of fact, and I see a lot of shops selling nice suits. And I don't bother to look at them all. Forget about it. It's out of my way. Dummy. You know, which store has a sale. Open your mind. Be open-minded. Number two, you see something there. Let me find out more about it. Walk into the store. The guy shows me the material. He shows me this. He shows me that. He says, try it on. Well, try it on is number three. That's when you give your universal expression. Number four.
Take it off.
No. Buy it. Buy it. Now, you might say, I'm stuck with it if I buy it. Yes, no. There's a money back. Judaism! First four steps in Judaism. Number one, you know nothing about Judaism. You even think negative about Judaism. Open your mind for God's sake and stop doing so negative. Give God a hearing. Give God a chance. Oh, number two, listen to what's being said and be honest with it. Don't give me some of your prejudices against it. Be honest and open and hear it. Listen to it. Question. Challenge. Probe. Now try it out. You like my presentation on Dominique? Try it out. Try it. Number four. Buy into it. Internalize. Keep moving with it. Don't give up. Try more. Think about all that we've learned. Are you interested now in observance? I'm talking to this guy that's not religious, right? And I tell him, open your mind, hear the thought, hear the process, try this, try that. And what does the guy do? And the guy's open mind, he's following, and he's thinking, and he's asking the questions, and he's trying it out. So I say, would you like to try? I just gave you a five-hour lesson on the laws of Shabbos. Would you like to try it? Would you like to count the Friday night? That's number four. And that's all intellect. See, all these experiences are really doing what? Making your mind's juices working. Getting people to think and rethink. And that's how they'll find truth. And that's how we will find the Torah. By using those processes. So that's basically, as I said, the intellect
The social, you got to respect your elders, you got to give to your youngers. The problem with that is oftentimes it's not reciprocated. And if it's not reciprocated, you really have a problem. If you get along with someone who you put something, you put a lot into it, and doesn't reciprocate, harm it. Harm it. What's the best relationship there is in the world? A peer group. What's the best peer group you got? Yeah? If what? That's the best group there is. You go to a party, and in the party, you and your wife go, and you got four children. You got 1, 12, 1, 10, 1, 8, 1, 6, let's say. Right? And in the party, a lot of families got together, a big conquer party. Family, there's a conquer party in the shul. Right? And all the families are here with their kids. In most cases, the men will gravitate to the men, the women with the women, the 10-year-old with the 10-year-old, the 6 with the 6, and the 8 with the 8. Why is that so? Because people like being on an equal level. That's healthy. That's called a healthy relationship. So by definition, relationship between parents and children is unhealthy. So how do you make it healthy? Four always teaches you. How do you make a relationship where you appreciate your parents instead of saying, stop annoying me? The answer is real simple. Give back to them. Appreciate. How do you appreciate your parents? Mom, can I bring you a glass of water? Dad, can I bring you a paper to read? Do something for someone. You love a Rebbe? Give to the Rebbe. I once ran a half a mile to give my Rebbe a fork. Because he was hungry, he didn't have lunch, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they brought him lunch without a fork. I ran a half a mile to get him a fork. That's why I love my man. Now, how do you do the opposite way? How do parents do it to the kids? Kids do it to the parents. You've got to be able to stimulate the kids into a response. And children stimulate the parents into a response. And everything's healthy. That's how social life works. In physical, it's all about moderation. Sleep. There is no justification for sleeping late, ever. Except Shavuos morning. When you stay up all night, then you can get up, then you can go to sleep. There is no justification for a person who is not in control of his body, but he can't get up and go to work at the proper time. Is that acceptable? How about food? Same thing. Same thing. It has to be a moderation and eating properly. Relations between boys and girls. Indulgence is not. It's totally destructive. A society that's so indulgent finds itself with scandals every day, from high government officials down, and the guy in Hollywood, the guy in the White House. With abusing women. The guy in the Jerusalem Post writes about it this past Friday. I read the article. At the end of the article, he writes, well, you know, we have a major problem in our society, and I don't know how to figure it out at all. But he says, the Haredim, they have a simple solution. They simply don't allow a boy and a girl who are not married to be alone together in a room. Now, of course, we can't accept that. It's antiquated, it's old-fashioned, or whatever he said, you know. So I want to write him back a letter and tell him, friend, you know, you can say that the Haredim are crazy, but they come on, they're losers. They're losers in the world. The whole Tel Aviv is a bunch of losers. That's what they are. They fail. In all these 40 years, and all of life, they're miserable, they're unhappy. They're abusive. They are abused. Craziness.
Not accurate,
sir. I'm sorry?
The statement's not accurate.
Well, what's that?
The statement's not accurate.
Well, most of the people are pretty miserable.
No. There's a lot of people who are bad, a lot of people are miserable.
Well, maybe there are people with some. A life without a religious direction, without a moral directive, is selfish. Okay, so I won't give them all the television. I'm sure there are pockets of television. Listen, I live in L.A. L.A. is the immorality capital of the world. I live in its midst. But the fact of the matter is, but see, the elections are the only way. But the fact is that within the system of Judaism, which is the 40-way system of Judaism, it works. It manages. You realize family. You realize the moral pattern or path in which boys and girls date to get married. Whole different ballgame, whole different lifestyle. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching. Migration. Sure, you go out to the day and have a nice time again, but you mind your respect. And you realize the respect for one another. And you realize the sense of understanding how we relate to one another and what belongs in the marital relationship and what does not belong when it's not a marital relationship. Whole different set of perspectives. So basically, again, the message of 48 ways is in physicality is moderation. Moderation in food, moderation in sleep, moderation in sex, moderation in business. You can't be a workaholic. But at the same time, you can't sit and learn all day and not have a job.
Why did
they wrong. They're definitely wrong. They're wrong. Anyway, I'm glad you gave me a hearing. I hope you enjoyed it. Look it up, the sixth chapter, the sixth Mishnah, and work on it, enjoy it, and develop. 48 Ways to Wisdom, get the book, or buy the, go get the tapes. Rabbi Noah Weinberg, wonderful teaching. Thank you very much.